okay, we're starting with turkey and salad, plus a yud. What we've had up until now is that Shimshon ended up going down to the what's it called? So he spoke to the woman. He knows he's going to marry her. He had already killed the lion. He returned afterward in order to go marry her. A year later, in order to go marry her, he went to the lion. So because of that, he wanted to go see what was going to be with the lion. It wasn't just curiosity. He wanted to go because he realized that his first major symbol had been given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this lion, the lion and the honey. So he understood this is something that he needed, something that he had to understand completely.
What's the significance of the lion and honey?
Remember, it was a sign that even though there was going to be the Plishtim were going to be very strong, he would be able to defeat them. And then the honey was going to be something, as we're going to see, is that there was going to be sweetness in the things that he was doing. I mean, marrying the Plishtim, whatever. Whatever it is, there was still some sweetness there. Others that you wanted to go in, simply put, you wanted to give thanks for a miracle. And anytime you pass a spot where a miracle happened for you, this was certainly a miracle, then you have to make a bracha on it. Then you go ahead and make a bracha on it. Okay. And that is that. He also, there's another simon that's given over here. I don't know who this is from. I think it might be from Ibn Ezra. It's a warning. Anyone who loves sweet honey is going to be stung by the bees. And Shimshon should realize that the more you hang out with the Plishtim, the more it's going to affect you. And this is going to affect you. So although this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, but be very, very careful because you'll be stung and you could be hurt.
Shlomo got that warning and didn't work out for him either.
No, unfortunately. Well, Shlomo Melech made his own decisions. Well, we'll get to Shlomo Melech. For now, Shimshon is going to make one major mistake, and that's there. Okay, if I hear it of you, Ella Yishev says in Pasuk Yud. So the father went down to the woman. I don't know if it's, you know, the father made the wedding happen or the father of the woman. He can't ask about Bachurim, Yin and Mishta. That's what the Bachurim did, which is weird. I mean, it doesn't look like the parents made the party. It sounds like Shimshon made his own wedding.
Maybe because they didn't approve, they didn't go, but it seems that they did go to the wedding.
Yeah. It is strange, right? So when they saw him, there were 30 friends that they brought there. And it doesn't look like Shimshon had anybody else that was Jewish there, except for maybe a stranger. I will give you this riddle, and if you tell it to me, over the 7 days of the Mishnah, and it's awesome. Then good, everything will be good with you. I will give you 30 sheets, 30 changes of clothing. You're not able to tell it to me. You're going to have to give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of clothing. Say your riddle, boy, and let us hear it. From the feeder came food. From the strong came sweet. They weren't able to tell the riddle 3 days. I don't know if this is fair in riddle lore. I don't know if this is something that you would normally do. Like, normally a riddle is to something that is, you know, commonplace or whatever it is, and you just say it something like that. This is not something that you'd expect. What, honey and a beehive in the middle of a lion carcass? What in the world is this? I don't know, but no, that's what he did. It's also strange because it seemed like this is a simon for himself. So he does a little bit. He says, number one, that this is one of the rayas that they use for 7 days for Shavuot Rachos afterward. The other one is from Yaakov Avinu and Rachel and Leah. It's funny that we learn them both from non-Jewish partners. Lavan is the one that made the seven-day party. Lavan suggested it, said after 7 days, then you'll marry the other one. And then over here, I mean, it's a Plishti party, technically.
Yeah, right? Yaakov is before the Torah, this is after the Torah.
Yeah. It's just strange. So he said the following. This is the reason why he was sure that the pollution wouldn't get it. He was ready to bet on it. They wanted to take this great risk. Without a question, the Amalei says that at the end of the day, this was to get them in trouble to the point where he would have an excuse to kill them. He knew what was going to happen, basically. And without a question, this is the basic, he wanted to get them in trouble so that he'd eventually kill them all. But Yibayim HaShvi on the seventh day. The big question exactly what that is. The chronology is really off. What day did he tell it to them? But we'll see. But Yom Ru'a Isha Shimshon, they said to the wife of Shimshon, Patias Ishech, the Agadon was a Chida, seduce your husband and let him tell us the riddle. Right, or, yeah, tell us the riddle. Or else we'll kill you and your father's house in fire. Did you invite us here just to destroy us?
Rashi says, Yom HaShvi is Shabbos, mm-hmm. the actual day.
So, and therefore, it might have been the fourth day, as we'll see right over here. Batik Esh Hashem Shana Lav, she cried. Batom Rak Sinesi. Sinesani, you hate me. Belohatani, you don't love me. Achidah Chad Salivneami. You told him a riddle to everybody else. Lilo, I got it. And you didn't tell me the answer. Can you love you, Lilo? You got it. Belohatani, I didn't tell it to my father or my mother. I won't tell you. Stop right there. Wouldn't you assume that he's going to be closer to his wife than he would to his father and his mother? I mean, he left his father and his mother, and he's ruining this woman. Right here you see that Shimshon was not in this marriage for love purposes. This was not the purpose of this marriage. This marriage was as an excuse to find himself within the police court. And that's clear that there's something to hear that. But either way, regardless, that's one thing altogether. This was, without a question, a chait. He concealed it from his parents because he knew that it was a simon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could he tell it to anybody else? This was a chait. She cried about it for the 7 days. Now that's weird. Wait a second. When did they come up to him? It was on the seventh day. And that's why Chazal say, Rashi says, oh, it was Shabbos, which is really the fourth day. And the 7 days really mean 3 days earlier, but it's still strange. Miamalez brings another parish that says that there were 7 days before the suit, before the wedding, and then 7 days after the wedding. 7 days he partied with these guys before the wedding happened, and 7 days afterward, like a large bachelor party. Show was in Vegas, and then afterward they had and 7 days of Shavuot, so even on the Shvi, the Yagilok Yatikasu, and he told it to her because he pressed him.
Wasn't the plan to tell her? I mean, he told them an impossible riddle so that they would go to his wife and he would tell her and then he had an excuse to kill them.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Or there would be something else if they didn't go to his wife and they would, you know, be very, very upset. So they would try fighting him and he would be able to fight back and kill them. Mm-hmm. I would assume that's more likely. But so he told her. Because she pressed him, and then he told it over to, you know, the people out there. He realized it didn't make that much of a difference, whatever it was. But anyway, regardless, you can't blame her either. I mean, she was being threatened that her family was going to be killed. You can't really blame her so much. Either way, Shimshon's plan came into fruition. By Yimelachia on the seventh day of the term Acharsa, before the time had come. So Mamatum Yizvash, what's sweeter than honey? That Oz Meari, what is stronger than a lion? Yimelam Lube Charasha Beklasi Lemetzal Chidasi, and you not plowed with my calf, you would not have found the answer to my riddle. They waited until the last minute to make Shimshon think that he was going to win. So right before sunset had happened, right before the sun had set, they spread the answer throughout every one of the cities, that everyone came at once, every single person in the city, and said, oh, it's honey in a lion's carcass, right? As if it was like the easiest thing in the world to understand, as if everybody should get it. However, they did not get both parts. From the eater came forth food they didn't understand. They never got that. The second was, from the strong came forth sweet. So they understood, right, that from the strong came forth sweet. Oh, no, they got the first part. I'm sorry. It's the opposite. They understood the first part. From the eater came forth food, right, that the bees ate part of the lion, whatever it is, and they ended up giving off honey to others. But from the strong came forth sweet, that there actually was a lion that had a beehive inside it, right? That they didn't know. They had no idea that that sort of thing had happened. So either way, regardless, they forced it out, so he accused them of adultery with her, plowing with my calf. Atizel love Ruach Hashem. Once again, it's amazing that the woman back then used to be called cows. Unbelievable. Seven cows in the dream of Paro. Seven daughters of Paro, according to the astrologers. Can you imagine trying to say that to somebody today? Oh, you saw seven cows in your dream? For sure, reference to your seven daughters. There's no question about that. But Tizla Baruch Hashem, Spirit of God came upon him a year at Ashkelon. He went down to Ashkelon. He killed 30 men. He took their shirts. And he gave the change of the clothing to the people who told the riddle. And he got angry. When he went back to his father's house. Now, he doesn't mention that he gave the sheets. Could be they compromised. Because he said, you guys cheated. And they're like, all right, just give us the shirts. And therefore, you didn't give the sheets. It could be you gave the sheets also. The sheets are not as big. Either way, regardless, this was going to show that he wanted to take vengeance. So some say that Shimshon's wife went back to her evil ways, even though she was still legally married to him. Others say that the father, thinking that Shimshon rejected her, so gave her in marriage to somebody else, right? But everybody agrees Shimshon still loves her, okay? In some way, shape, or form, something was there. Maybe he was doing this as an excuse. But after some days, we make Ketzir Achitim, in the days of Ketzir Achitim, which was during Shavuos. Vayikot Shimshon as Ishto, he remembered his wife, Big D, Izim, with a goat. I'm going to be together with my wife in that room. But her father would not allow him to go inside. Okay? So that's what ended up happening. It was during that time. The reason why he did it during this time specifically is he wanted to leave the pollution with no food whatsoever. So he went during the end of the wheat harvest, which included the barley and the other harvest, you know, anything else, the bean harvest that you could possibly have. The question is, how could you return? We all know there's something called Machzer Grusha, so you can't go back to somebody who remarried in between. The answer is that she didn't remarry in between. She was just having znus.
So that's also awesome.
With the second guy. That's not also. You can still, she's, oh, because also her husband. Because of that, I'm sorry. Grusha, so. If she was Grusha, then yeah. It could be that Shimshon's marriage was never consummated with this woman. That's a possibility. That's one answer over here.
Is that a precondition?
Or she was forced to do it against her will by her father. And that would be a good answer. That's an ability to be able to do it. Otherwise,
I mean, can you just say that she's like converted?
It seems not that way. The Rambam is one that says that she converted. Nobody seems to argue on that. Everybody seems to agree with the Rambam.
His parents went to the wedding.
Yeah, his parents went.
His parents went to the wedding.
I hope it was kosher. Tarek Tetzvah Pazik Beis. Listen, I thought you hated her, right? That's what the father said. But I gave her to your friend. Listen, take the younger sister. Everything should be good. You know what I'm saying?
Better than her sister.
Nobody, yeah, I said, it's better stuff, right? So how about that? I am now, by the way, very quickly, it shows that Shimshon was not always so strong. Her father would not allow him to come in. Flick him.
But maybe he's got. He didn't want to show his.
Yeah, I hear you.
He didn't want to show his cards. He wanted to use Clark Kent right now. It was like
heel Clark Kent.
He killed 30 people.
Right, I mean, he didn't know. He did it dead of the night. Nobody knew that he was going to
kill 30 people. It didn't say the night.
No, because the sun had just gone down, so it seemed that it was between.
Oh, I hear you. On that night.
Yeah, that night he went out.
That's
killed
Uriah.
30 people.
Uriah. Maybe nobody knows.
Because if they knew, they would kill him now.
That's a really good call. Listen, I am guiltless toward the pollution right now. If I do evil to them. He took 300 foxes, and he took torches. Even animals on him, and he turned them tail to tail. He took flames and had them dragging behind their tails. And the fire burned among the torches. He sent them to and fro between all the wheat. They burned down everything. All the stuff was completely destroyed. He held everybody responsible because of the silent protest. How could you guys have not said anything when my wife was given over to somebody else? Now, why foxes? Because Pelishim were sly and cunning like foxes, and he felt that they had betrayed them, and that's the idea behind it. And also, they stand for people who are false and treacherous, and he felt that they had done this as well, that the way foxes go, they're always dealing with themselves. No fox will back up into it, you know, to help out its friend. So each one is flying in its own direction. That meant that the fire was going to go in all different directions because the foxes were tied up to one another. How in the world he tied up fox tails together and put a torch in between them? That is one of the greatest feats of humankind.
They were in a trance.
In a trance. But it's 300 so foxes.
You give them some food.
It's amazing.
You know why he chose foxes?
Well,
they were the available
one fox. Well, look at me, saw one fox, let alone 300.
I know, 300. Well, I don't know what he got. This is amazing.
Could it be that 300 is an exaggeration? Because in the Gemara, 300 is an exaggeration.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that way in Tanakh. I wish I found somebody that said that it means something else. I can't find anybody that says this. It's unbelievable. Either way, this is definitely a feat of strength of Shimshon, because I don't know how in the world he can understand this. Who did this? His name was Shimshon. Chasen HaTimni. He's the son-in-law of the Timni. He also has Israel because he took his wife, Yinal Mariah, and he gave it to somebody else. So the pollution went and burned her and her father in a fire in order to appease Shimshon. The whole point was to appease Shimshon. But Shimshon said, what? How could you have done that to me?
He's one person. He didn't do something that was necessarily superhuman. I mean, unless you can talk to foxes. I mean, who says that he's like Superman?
This was weird.
It's weird, but like,
this is a weird.
There are thousands of people and he's one person. Why would
Plus, he wasn't angry at her. He was angry at them. So why would killing her do anything.
He was angry. Well, he felt that they had been responsible, but he didn't tell them that. So they thought that the reason why he did this was because he was angry at the father-in-law. So they said, all right, we'll kill the father-in-law in order to appease Shimshon so that Shimshon doesn't come up again.
But maybe they were just really angry, and they're like, we got to get our anger at someone.
That could be
you guys
that makes
this.
Sense, right? But either way, Abimelech, Shimshon, and Tassim, Kazos, he did this. Now I'm going to take vengeance against you, and then I'll stop. He killed them. The knee, thigh, on leg, a huge mark of Yerushalayim, Sif Sela Etam, and then he sat by Sif Sela Etam, and he went into hiding. He found a cliff that had a little cave inside there with a large rock in there. And he went there into a place where he could look down and see anybody who was coming.
It's
so he'd be able to tell.
Mara Shimshon is like in the...
Do they have Mara Shimshon?
I don't know if it's the right way. I think it's... Like, when we went on a hike once in, like, outside Beit Shemesh, they have that, like... Know where Shimon was buried and everything.
So like he's going around there. Had he done this sooner, now way up north. Had you done this sooner, Shimon really said. Had you done this sooner, then maybe I would have accepted this. But he didn't do it until now. Forget it. That's why he went up against him. So the Pelishim came up, they camped by Yehuda, and they spread out around Lehi. Now, why is it called Lehi? Because of what's going to happen. That's the only reason why. Why did you come up against us? Said Yehuda. So the Yemulasaur is Shimon Alinu. We came up in order to tie up Shimshon to do to him what he did back to us. And he said, listen, he's not our guy. Shimshon, see, this was the power of Shimshon. They didn't think he was a Jew doing this for Jewish reasons. They thought that he was just a vigilante trying to do his own thing, a little Rambo who's trying to do his own thing over here, to which they said, alright, we're just going to get it. He wouldn't take the revenge on the Jews. They just wanted Shimshon. That's what they thought, and they guessed, rightly so, Shimshon would never hurt his own people. So they thought, okay, we'll let the Jews do the dirty work for us. So he said, listen, if you want Shimshon, go get him yourself. He said, no, you bring him to us. If you're hiding him, then you're held responsible and we'll kill you. So you go bring him to us. Now, here's the halacha. If the police would come to the city and say, send out one guy, and we're going to kill him, he cannot summon anybody. It's also to summon anybody, that's also. If they say, send out that guy named Shimshon, right? Shimshon Megara, that's where we learn it from, then you have to send out that guy. You don't have to, but you're allowed to send out that guy in order to save the people of the city. Okay, this is what they did. They asked for Shimshon. So the city said, we have no choice. Now, all it is, we're supposed to send out Shimshon. Now, that's what they said. But Yehudah shows up in Yishmi, 3,000 men of Yehudah went down on Sif Stella, Etam, to that area. You know that the police are ruling against Muslims and Cecil. What are you doing? Listen, they did it to me. I'm going to do to them. You notice that? The police said, he did to us, we're going to do back to him. So Shimshon said, what they did to me, I did back to them. Right? That's what it is. Now, it is interesting. They had to go down the mountain. You notice that? By Yerdu, Shlosha Salafim.
Because they went to the cliff, so maybe they were on the cliff, they had to go down.
So there's another thing. I mean, there is a remnant whenever it says the word by Yered. This is a spiritual decline. This was a cowardly act that they were ready to give over. Remember, Shimshon is not Sam, a guy. He's the showface of Klal. Yes.
Without any of the showface?
If they know him already, and they knew who Shimshon was, who they were asking for, clearly they knew who he was.
Why did the Plishti then automatically assume that he was doing this for personal reasons and not nationalistic reasons?
Because he already was marrying a Plishti. He married the Plishti woman and everything was all there. Meaning he was trying to, clearly he wasn't doing this for Jewish reasons. He had nothing to do with the Jews anymore.
He's the Jewish leader.
And if he went, why would he go to Sela Ein Etam instead of into the other Jewish people's cities? Yeah.
Who says he's the recognized Jewish leader? Especially anymore.
Only from the fact that it seems that everybody was masking to it, that everybody was around there, that people were around. I remember seeing in the Shimshon struggle, the old book Samson's struggle, I remember seeing that everybody knew about it. I don't know what Zariah was, but I remember seeing that he was the undisputed leader of the Jews, and that's why he has tons of stuff in there, the new one especially. But saying that there was tons of stuff, that he was known for like 20 years as the Shofet of Kol Yisrael. That he's not, this has been 20 years where he was the Shofet, well, at that time. So it was that. It says over here, Shimshon was their holy man and protector. He had fought against the enemies that oppressed him. Now they were prepared to give him over into the hands of those very enemies. Give me one second over here. This is on page 296. Here, I'll tell you where this is from. 23. Radak and Mincha Kitana. Radak and Mincha Kitana. So we have something like that. That is Allah over here. Shimshon told back to them, you are definitely cowards, right? The police have oppressed you. You're afraid to fight back because you don't really believe that God can save you. So instead, you're giving me over into the hands of the police.
Yeah,
fight with me. Fight with me. fight with me. Tell me we want to fight with you. Do something like that. Yeah. Jesus of all, Gideon was not too long ago.
Right, okay, but God has specifically told Gideon to take.
Shimshon might have also. Had they listened. Had they gone to him and said, what should we do? We have come down to tie you up. Let's see the police and put you into the hands of the police. Swear to me that none of you will touch me. Now, the question is, if they would have touched him, would Shimshon have had the strength to kill them back? The Jews. Some say he had made a vow not to kill any Jews with his power. Others say the power wouldn't even work against Jews.
Forget the strength. They weren't allowed to. Wouldn't that be tantamount
to a Jew? To do to a Jew. Yeah.
But even for his Shofik status, he was basically a melech, so you can't do that to a melech.
And that's correct as well. That's correct
to anybody.
Yeah.
Well, not even just touching, I'm not even killing.
If the person was rebelling, maybe, and maybe they could hold that Shimshon was rebelling by causing a rebellion of the police against him. I don't know.
But he wasn't. The police said just give him over to us. They didn't say kill him for us.
It could be also that Shimshon knew that he had to fight all this alone. Meaning, remember the nevuah of Yaakov Avinu at the end of Parshas Vayechi was very clear. He would be a nachash alei darach. He's not leading an army. He is a snake on the path that is going to kill the Pelishim, and he knew he was going to do this all alone. Either way, by Yom Lo, this is in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Le'vayim Lulim, where they said to him, saying, Lo, ki alzer nesorcho, we will tie you up in the sanduchah b'yadam, we're going to put you into their hands. V'hameis lodim isecho, we will not kill you. V'yatsru b'shnayim abosim chadashim. They tied him up in two very thick ropes, brand new ropes that had never been used before. They had lumina sala, and they brought him up from the rock. Now, he was bound very well, and they could see that he was bound very well. He waited to knock off these ropes until the policeman saw that he was bound tightly. So, who bought lucky? The policeman, they called out. They shouted with joy the cross of Hashem. The spirit of God came upon him. The ropes that were on his arms became like linen strings. They were burning a fire. And all of his chains melted off his hands.
And I didn't say at the beginning of Shimshon, but he always gets these powers, and he never asks for them. They're just given to him.
They're given to him, right? Not only, normally, by the way, the powers come to him when somebody is blaspheming God. Somebody's going up against a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not always, but it does happen. He found a fresh donkey jawbone. He put out his hand, and he grabbed it, and he killed 1,000 men with it. That's impressive.
How big is a donkey jawbone?
Even according to one opinion, says that it was a 3-day-old donkey that was very soft and weak. And he still was able to kill people. But it wasn't. It was a soft and weak
skull. Wasn't it better for him to punch everybody?
I would assume it hurt his hand after a while. He ever punched something like 100 times. Kill 1,000 people. Some say this was the jawbone of the donkey of Bilam. Donkey of Bilam. Bilam had ridden on this donkey, etc. So it served for good. Isn't that awesome?
How did it make its way to here? Bilam was living in the other side of the Jordan.
Because the jaw rebuked Bilam. When it died, his jawbone was preserved so that it might aid in this great salvation. Many years later, it remained as fresh and strong as when it had been alive. I don't know how it made it over here. This whole thing is a miracle. Anyway, with this cheek of a donkey, I have killed bundles upon bundles. The cheek of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men. Now, don't think that was just Tom. He sang a song. This was a shira. That was his song after he had built. So this is like his praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After he's finished speaking, he threw the lechi out of his hands. They called it the place of lechi. Here's the problem. He got very, very thirsty. Now, why? He was a punishment. He didn't mention God in his song. I did it. I was able to kill with this. You allowed this great salvation to happen in the hands of your servant. Now I'm going to die in thirst. Then if I'll do better, I'm going to fall into the hands of these arrows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the jawbone. Water came out. And he drank. And his spirit came back. And he lived. They call a little bit more than just that. Some say he was so weak he couldn't even lift his hand up off the ground. That's what ended up happening. Some say that's what ended up happening. Some say that even if there was a cup of water in front of him, he would not be able to stretch it out his hand in order to take it. It was so unnatural, it wouldn't be there. Where did the water come from? Either it came from the bone itself, or it came from the hole where the throat would have been of the donkey. Others say it was in Shimshon's own mouth. the water just sprang forth from his own jawbone. It's pretty awesome. I'd like to have a drinking fountain in my mouth. My Yishpot et Sob Yimei Plishim Hashem Shani, you judge them for 20 years altogether. Now, they were not worthy of a judge like Shem Shem. They were not worthy of someone like that to protect them from such people. But the idea is that it says that Shimshon judged Bnei Yisrael in the times of the Plishtim. It was only because of the Plishtim that he became a judge, because it was just tremendous. We are now going to... Oh, listen to this. Shimshon is remembered for his exceptional strength and for his failure to control his desires, which eventually led to his destruction. These two qualities make him seem to have been a coarse and prudish person, not a wise and holy man as a judge is expected to be. But the rabbis tell us differently. And if we read the words of the Chumash carefully, we can see that such negative assumptions about Shimshon are indeed unjustified. Then he goes through the bracha of Yaakov Avinu, and he shows how he was referring to this. He would not be a leader of an army. He'd be fighting on his own. And he had something.
But the first time it says that he went to marry the girl and says, Kimei Hashem Ayah Davar, that God had told him to do this. But this very next puzzle, he doesn't seem to say that.
And this one, in Tazayin?
Yeah.
Okay, here is his first sin.
But he just sinned.
What? Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. No, but his first time when he came to a riot, meeting with the police, two women. But Yelach Shimshon has also. Shimshon went to Gaza. But Yarsham Isha Zonavi Avoyla, he saw a prostitute woman there, and he had a deal with her. This was a problem. Now, we have to understand something about Shimshon, and he says it over here. Everybody up until now was converted. Here, she was not converted. She did not become Jewish. This was a Zona, and it was right there. She went to her.
Shimshon,
this one was not
destined for this Zona. Isn't there a medrash that says that he was, so to speak, created from an illicit relationship?
Not illicit.
Menoch
and Saul Ponies, remember, from the Malach. Not an illicit relationship. No, he's okay. We're talking about Gido.
No, Yehuda, I think. Yehuda and Tamar?
Forget
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
No, Shimshon's from Dun. He's no shaykhus to Yehuda.
No, I know, but I think he's from an illicit relationship. Yehuda met Tamar, and there's a midrash that says that
not here.
He was forced to be with her, even though it wasn't.
No, not this one.
Somebody had. There was a relationship with someone that wasn't great, and that led to Shimshon, or maybe Shimshon's relationship that led to something else. I don't know.
No.
Somebody was with a dog.
Yes, Shimshon and Orpah. We're going to get to that.
Shimshon and Orpah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it soon. It's going to happen. We'll get to that. We're going to get to that. They tap Golias. Golias is born from Shimshon. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Shimshon is his father?
Yes. We're going to talk about it. Story at the end. It's awesome.
A little bit out there.
How they straight out.
Not in the measures, but not in the...
No, but I'll show you. I'll show you straight out the house. The Korpa is going to be mentioned over here. No, it's never going to be here because Golias. Some say that the reason why he went to this woman is he wanted to remind the Plishtim of his strength. He walked boldly right into the biggest Plishti city of Gaza. Walked right in and said, come get me if you can. And was out in the open together with a Plishti woman. And all the people were scared out of their minds. It says, La'azosim Waymor, Bashem Shem. To the Azosim, the people in charge, it was told, Shem Shem came to the city, Haina. He has come here. So Bavayar Belot said they surrounded him. And they ambushed him all night long. Bashar here by the gate of the city. But he's Horshu Kualal. And they were silent all night long. Laymor Ad Ora. Of Aragunu. What do you got?
How would you say that?
Pundakisa?
No, Pundakisa is just innkeeper.
Oh.
Meaning she wasn't a Zona, she was an innkeeper.
So maybe he went to... He's explaining...
He went to an inn. Maybe he just went to a hotel.
He decided to check into a hotel.
He checked into a main hotel on Michigan Avenue. You know,
he went to a bait Zona.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's the push-up shot over here. So either way... Yeah, that is correct. Although we did see the same Lashon by the Meraglim with Rachav.
Which is also, that whole Lashon there is a little bit, I don't know.
She came to him, I think. She came to them, I think it says. But he's called Shukol Lailo Lemo Ad Ora Bokeh Varagnu. They were silent all night long until the morning, and then they said that they're going to kill him. So there were three groups here. One group was right in the house, waiting for Shimshon to wake up in order to kill him. The other group waited by the door of the city to not let him leave the city. The other group planned all night long what they'll do in the morning because they were afraid of his great strength. Others say it's just one group that did it all together. Really, regardless, but Yishkat Shimshon Achatzi Alayla. Shimshon slept until the middle of the night. He got up in the middle of the night after Tikkun Chatzos, obviously. Nayakos Vidalsa Shara Ir, he grabbed onto the doors of the gate of the city of Bashem Mezuzos on the two sides, and he carried them together with the lock. And he put them on his shoulders. And he went all the way to the top of the mountain in Chavron. Guys, look at the edge from Gaza until Chavron. This is how many miles it is altogether.
In the middle of the night, he walked from Gaza to Chavron.
I don't know if he made it in the middle of the night. That would be
people waiting.
20, 30, 35 miles.
What about the people waiting?
Shimshon outwitted them. They thought that he had fallen asleep in the middle of the night when they had already fallen asleep, that he got up and left.
It doesn't mean it's at Hebron. It means it's a high enough mountain that overlooks Hebron.
Okay, regardless, fine. He only went 25 miles. Shine, I'll give you that one. Okay, he walked 25 miles.
God didn't give him superpowers this time.
Some say that they were not all asleep. That when he ripped up the gate, they were scared out of their minds. And they were like, oh, forget it, we're out. Either way, regardless.
Usually it's been saying that God came.
Yeah, you're right. This does not say Ruach Hashem that came with him or anything like that. Chazal tells an unbelievable Gemara. It says that his shoulders were 60 amos wide, which was the amount of the door. Very hard to understand that 60 amos, that means he's 90 feet, give or take, wide. That's his shoulders, from shoulder to shoulder, 90 feet.
This is means he had broad shoulders.
Broad shoulders, that's what it seems to mean, and that it refers to something else. I don't know how it could be that he's that big, or he wouldn't fit inside houses.
He's like Mr. Olympia, he was, you know.
Look like that. After that, he loved a woman in Nachal Sorek. I used to, that street is right by me when I used to live in Ramat Eshkol. Her name was Delilah. Sorek is a shade tree. You know, a tree that doesn't bear fruits. Through his lack of self-control, he became like a tree that no longer bears fruit. It's funny, by the way, we do not mention any children with a previous couple woman. Delilah was the third Pelusha woman that Shimshon took. It is a Chazaka, which means that he no longer is seeing this as something wrong. Delilah means lowered. Dalal means to lower something down. She lowered him to the ground. But yeah, the way left our Nicolishan.
Yeah, because you didn't convert.
Exactly. Well, that already is machlokas. I think the Rambam.
Rambam says she didn't convert.
I think the Rambam says straight out, do you think that Delilah didn't convert? I think that's exactly his wording. Do you think that Delilah didn't convert? Certainly she did. I think he specifically mentioned Delilah.
Because, either way, I mean, being with a non-Jew is a Darabanan. So maybe it wasn't attacking him.
When was it made?
I don't know, that's what I'm saying.
It's Medrash Shel Shem.
But there were no Jews then.
That's what we have to understand. It meant marrying outside of your faith. That's what it referred to.
Or maybe the conversion process wasn't necessarily a conversion in order to...
Regardless, it was made by Beis Medrash Shel Shem. Regardless, there was something behind it. It was made all the way back then before, by the Avos.
If it's only an Isser Darabanan, then how come, like, spiritually it's, like, really, really bad? Like,
because
it's from, says that, like, they grow the Orla spirit.
Because it's from shame. Aside from that, I think all Darabanans have that type of thing behind it. Maybe not the Assays, like, to be careful of Nitzilus time or whatever it is, but the Los Assays that are Darabanans are still very, very strong. I don't know what the halakha is by Muksa or things like that, you know, those types of things. You're over on Muksa, you're over on this and that and the other. But this one is strong. This one is very strong. It comes from shame. We're not talking about, this is not a, you know... The Gemara that mentions it. It's right there. Beis Medrash Shel Shem. Offhand, I don't remember, but believe that, I can look it up tonight. Today was like my whole day was spent looking up things that people keep asking me. I was too lazy to look up. Most of that, and taking care of my daughter, that is crap. Don't worry, I don't for sure. Well, I know that's Sarnay Pelushim. So the officers of Pelushim came to her. But Yemuel, they said to her, Patioso, seduce him. Re'i b'makoh ho gadol. Find out how his strength is so great. B'manuhu, how we're going to be able to defeat him. B'manuhu, la'anozo. And we will tie him up and afflict him. And achmi tamlach. Ish alef o'meyah kasef. Each man will give you 1,100 silver pieces. Now, they thought that this was a physical thing. And therefore they assumed that the way to find out, you got to find a way. Every physical thing has something that can take it down. What is it that we can do in order to physically take it down?
I mean, did this look supernatural?
Yeah, it did look supernatural, but it's got to be...
Taking vitamins or...
They were used to magic and stuff like that. They were like, it's got to be something physical. What is it that's doing it? And if it's spiritual, find out how we can sever that connection between God and Him. What can we do with them? That's what they're asking. Now, some say that Delilah was totally a Russia and she wanted the money and she was offered 1,100 silver pieces from each one. She was offered a crazy amount of money and she just couldn't, you know, she couldn't not take it. Others say that Delilah was really into it. She was not willing to betray Shimshon whatsoever, but the fact is that she, you know, she saw the money and she was like, all right, I guess, and eventually she gave in. Others say, and this is from Shimshon's struggle, unbelievable shot. Delilah knew that Shimshon could not keep this up forever. She thought that it was physical, and we'll see that she thought it was physical, is what she says to him. It's that Tomer Delilah Shimshon said to him, Hagida Nali B'makokach HaGadol, tell me please how your strength is so great. U'bamate Aser Lanosecha, how could I tie you up to afflict you? Meaning, she didn't assume that it was spiritual. She said, what could I do physically to be able to hurt you? That's what she said. So, That's the idea behind it. Some say she was trying to protect him so that she would find out the secret. She would protect it from never happening. Others say she tried to flatten him by pretending to admire it. Regardless, Shimshon's not being fooled. And also, going back to what we were saying before, she might have done this because she knew that Shimshon could not keep this up forever. Right? Meaning, no great strong man is able to be that strong forever, except for maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger. It depends on how you look at it now. Nobody can just keep this up until they're 60, 70 years old. Like, when is this going to end?
Schwarzenegger's what's in this by the women.
Very, very good. Shimshon was, how long was he going to be in there for? Like, how long was Shimshon going to be able to be this strong for? He's already old. He's not a young guy. He had to be old because he didn't die at age of 30. That's not when he died.
He just for 20.
He died. And we don't know how old he was before
now, was he?
Yeah, he definitely was a judge before this because he's not part of Congress.
When he's with Zonas and...
That's what we're saying.
Be the political point,
when he went off, everyone was like, what the heck? They had no idea how this happened.
But how could he still be a joke?
But he always did all this like weird stuff.
Well, he still
how
was
a tremendous joke. How could he still be recognized as some...
Because he was a Navi. And what his claim was
there were lots of Navis.
Yeah, but if a Navi gets a Navua to do something, then you have to go ahead and do it. And he was a proven Navi. So he got a proven Navua. There's nothing he can do. That's what we were talking about last week. He told his parents. His parents like, what? There's no Jewish girl that's ready for you? You couldn't marry a Jewish girl. You have to go for this girl. And he said, I got a Navua. What do you want me to do? Like, this is what that. There's nothing that you can do in something like that. And when he's a proven Navi, not an unproven Navi, but a proven Navi, and it's not an Avodah Zarah, and it's a sin for him, not for anybody else, then he's allowed to do it. So that's what they assumed. They could not understand what he was doing. It would be literally like Rabbi Cohn getting up and saying, all right, I'm marrying a non-Jew now. That was impossible. The difference is that he was enough, and therefore they believed him, and they understood what it was supposed to be.
They also, I mean, was he necessarily also a religious figurehead, or was
Shimshon?
It seemed like he was...
Everything. He's a shofate.
Right, but a shofate like Yiftah, for example, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they were more like military leaders.
No,
and like
Shimshon was a straight leader. Shafat Etz Yisrael L'Asim Shana. He judged B'nai Yisrael for 20 years. Remember, we did say that. He judged B'nai Yisrael for 20 years. There's no question he was Italian. Aside from that, Chazal mentioned him all over the place. Again, if we're going to knock a guy down, Chazal are very good at knocking down certain people. They're raising up Shimshon. That's telling you something. Nobody says anything bad about Shimshon except, okay, he had too much of a taiva for a woman. And one parish, which I haven't mentioned, and the Amelie has mentioned it, is that his desire was unlike any desire that you could ever imagine. His desire was so strong, no one could stop it. And that was his biggest problem and his biggest weakness. He controlled himself as much as he could. There were times where he just couldn't. We'll see with Delilah. So what was it? The last thing I was going to say is Delilah knew that this would not last forever. Eventually, the police were going to capture him, and they were eventually going to torture him. She assumed that the best thing to do would be give in now and allow it to happen in an easier way, that at least he'll live and she'll be able to be together with him. She'll be able to live with him. That's what she assumed. They'll play with him for a little bit, whatever it is, but his strength will be gone and that'll be there. So she asks, you may ask, if you tie me up in seven strings, lock them that are very wet, actually local rubber that were never used, never dried out yet, but then I'll be sick, but I'll be like any other man. And the officers of the police brought seven wet ropes, actually local rubber that were not dried up, and tied her up with them. She tied him up with them. So the ambush was on the other room, obviously. It was a misunderstanding. She misunderstood. She didn't want the policeman to be seen. The police were upon you, he broke them like they were tiny little pieces of flax, right, that got hit by the fire, and it didn't show his strength whatsoever. It was as if nothing. Realized that she had deceived him. But I told her to leave Shem Shonini and salted me. You were joking around with me. Let's not like some of you are telling me lies. I thought you didn't leave a message. Tell me, how am I supposed to tell you up? You brand new ropes that had never been worked in. Brand new ropes, and she tied them up. The police were upon you, Shimshon. He knocked them off like they were little strings. Notice, by the way, not as easy as the time before. Not as easy. Because he's already going down a little bit. He was hinting with all these things to other things. Strings, ropes, is a reference to his hair. It's all reference to his hair. He was always saying the answer. He just didn't say it clearly enough. And that's the reason why. Once he started giving away the answer, then he already started to lose his strength little by little. You're still making fun of me. You're telling me why you didn't leave. But Mati Asar, tell me what's going on. I'm allowing to argue Sheva Machlokos Roshi and Malasachas. Notice this. If you tie up the seven, I guess they would say the seven braids of my hair to a loom, pull on the peg. She attached it to a peg. He woke up from his sleep and he took the whole loom with him. Meaning, the loom didn't break it. He broke the entire loom. That's an intervening, yeah. And this as well, right, again, the hair, he keeps mentioning some allusion to the hair itself. This is a loom, by the way. There's like a little, like a roller over here, and this thing is like little tight things where they pull the warp on each way, and in the back there's like a frame that goes like that, and then the weft, goes up and down all the way through, and you use a beater to be able to get it to go all the way in and out, whatever it is. So that's the idea. She tied up his hair into the loom, and then pulled it off so that it, like, literally it was tied into it so that it should break, but it didn't break. That was that. This is the only time that he was sleeping. The other two times he wasn't sleeping. This time he was sleeping when she did it. How could you say that you love me? Right? The lipka in et. But your heart isn't with me. You've made fun of me three times. Only got it to leap on my kohakogadol, and you've never told me what your strength is. Because she oppressed him with her words. All these days without say you, she pressed him. And he wanted to die. Again, remember, Alat does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh, says the Amoles. We don't know what it means exactly. It seems...
No, Devorah. The Gemara brings down... Or the ayin.
A different word, yeah. Alat used with an ayin. When they slept together, she would pull out from underneath him. Shimshon's desire was so great that he wanted to die. It was so unbearable. Now, here's the deal, guys. He had no idea what would happen if his hair was cut. Did you see anywhere up until now that the source of his power was through his hair?
No, it was always God.
It had nothing to do with the hair. So what's the shekhas to the hair?
That's what Justin no like, holy to God.
He didn't drink wine. Why isn't that?
Maybe why is the fact that he's learning Torah? She can't force feed him wine, so she can't cut his
hair. I understand. I don't get exactly why this, more than anything else, would be the issue. Where did that come from? So it's funny. So let's see this a little bit. By Agidlas Kol Dibul, he told her all of his hearts. By Yomalam Mora Lo Ola Roshi Kinezir Lehimani Bebaten. I've never had a razor on my head because I'm a Nazir of Hashem from the womb of my mother. And that's what he's saying. And therefore I'm different from all of the Nazirim because I was a Nazir Shimshon. I'm Nazir from
and
the womb of my
like
mother.
And isn't it like, didn't you think, or maybe it's kind of hypocritical? She's like, oh yeah, you're very holy to God. Here you are with me. It's like.
It's funny because I remember reading, I remember seeing that and I was thinking it to myself. I was going through it, and I said to myself, you know what? But if he was a holy man in everything else he did, the one thing that he did was that he had a type of Plishti woman. Granted, and that would be tremendously bad. But he's a shofet who knew all of Torah, who was doing everything, and was Megayer the woman beforehand, except that one Aza woman that people might not have known about.
No, it's this one too.
He marched into Oz, everybody was watching him. He did it like kind of like everybody. Right, with the police team. So the police team, like, also, they knew that he, I mean, if he's a leader of the Jewish people, they kind of assumed he was some sort of religious.
No, I didn't even mention, Delilah might not be a police chief. Delilah is a police chief according to most Rishonim. She might not have been a police chief.
Right, doesn't even say she was a police
chief. Doesn't say she was a police chief. So we don't even know who she was. She was just another woman.
I mean, the prayer says Isha police chief.
The Rishonim, most Rishonim say that she was Plishti. Yeah, there's no question. If you shave me, then my koach will turn away the chalitza, then I'll be sick, and I'll be like any other man. It's unbelievable. Having no more desire to live, he had no will to protect himself anymore. He just said, just get rid of me. It doesn't matter to me anymore.
Doesn't he have to get a quorum of rabbis to get rid of his nazirus?
No, he wasn't getting rid of it. He's not going to do anything.
And also, he didn't bring the Nazir upon him. He was born with it.
Yeah. This is very different. You cannot get rid of this, and this wouldn't have gotten rid of it anyway. Look what it says. Vater Delilah ki yigid las kol vivo. Right? So Delilah saw that she had told him everything in his heart. So Vatishal Vatikra Sarni Plishtin, she called out to the Sarni Plishtin, Lemo alu apan, come up. Ki yigid las kol vivo. Right? He told her everything that's in his heart. Alu ala Sarni Plishtin, my Yalalak has to be done. They brought the silver into his hand. How'd she know? She just knew it. Or it made sense. He used the shame of Hashem. He said, Nizir Elohim. and even Metanimi, he would never use God's name in vain, or this is very different language from what he had said before. This was clear that it wasn't going to be a lie. Next up, Atiyashneu al-Berchal, she put him to sleep on her knees. She couldn't get him drunk, obviously. Matikolish, she called to a man. They shaved off the seven locks of his head. So she started to hit him. And his strength was not there. Now,
that deep of a sleep.
That's what I was thinking as well, but I think it makes sense. If he became weaker in his sleep with every hair that went off his head, he became weaker and weaker and weaker, then it makes sense that he wouldn't have felt it. He wouldn't have felt it. Meaning,
no, but an average person usually is,
you
will wake up.
You're right. An average person will wake up because you'll feel it. But he felt weaker. He was so strong.
Oh,
right? So maybe he got weaker. Maybe that's the idea behind it. However, I have another shot behind it, but we'll say that for a second. I told him, please, Shemalacha Shemshon, the police are upon you, Shemshon. He got some Mishnah, so he got up from his sleep. I will wake up like every time I will wake myself up. But he had no idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was turned away from him. Maybe that was his chait, that he didn't mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name again. He should have said, Hashem will give me strength again. He said, I will wake up like I have all these times, and perhaps that's that. He may have expected the strength to dissipate slowly, not all at once, not so immediate. Could be that he really thought that if he hadn't violated the other parts of his ears, he didn't even really violate this one because he didn't take off his hair. Maybe he thought that he wouldn't lose his strength at all. Right, because he was still technically a Nazir, another Shimshon, especially. Number three, he probably expected God to save him no matter what. The Ochazu, Pelishim, grabbed him, and they pierced out his eyes. Now that clearly went against her plans and tried to do it for a good reason. And again, because he was looking at the woman and looking for a good looking woman, that's why he was hit in the eye. They chained him up in copper chains by and he ground, you know, the bread, the prison. We already talked about Mida Kenega Mida. Perhaps the grinding mill was their way of jail. It would go around and around in order to do it. Some say the expression here is a euphemism. It refers to him fathering children, that he had exceptional strength. That could be a natural quality. It could be inherited by their kids. So they had all their kids go over to him and try to have kids from him. Either regardless, maybe they thought that if they let their children's hair grow like him, whatever, and then everything would be all good. This is where Chazal learned that he was together with Orpah. Chazal tells in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Orpah had come to her. And when the Gemara says that she was together with 100 men and a dog, it meant a man who had the strength of 100 men and a dog, referring to Shimshon, and that Shimshon put all of his strength into Orpah and was able to come out with four giants. And there were, I mean, maybe quadruplets, I have absolutely no idea, but Gullius was born from this. And that is the reason why, when Yaakov Vinu sees Shimshon the whole way through, he says at the very end, for your salvation I hope, O HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a reference to seeing what was going to be, that Gullius was going to be the reason why David HaMelech was chosen as king. Shimshon started the salvation of Bnei Yisrael through Gullius. And that's the idea of what he was able to do. A very, very unbelievable thing. How Orpah found her way to the Pelishim from Moab, that I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. The new. We also saw Rosh Hashanah Kasha Gulach. The hair started to grow again. Now, the Pelishim watched him. They understood that if his hair was growing, obviously that could mean that his strength comes back, right? They were worried, but when they saw that the strength didn't come back, they thought they really destroyed them. The Sarnay Pelishim Nesfuli's Boach Zevakadol. The officers of the Pelishim, they started to shecht a huge korban with Dagon Elohim to Dagon, their god. Dagon was their half-fish, half-human god. Well, it was Simcha, right? It was for Simcha. They said, God has given in our hands Shimshon, our enemies, right?
Aren't you saying Eloheinu meaning Dagon?
Yeah, probably their god, Dagon. Yeah, you're right. They saw on the Halu was a lamb. The people saw him. They started praising their gods. That's Machariv Arsenu, the one who destroyed Elohim Asher Hirvah's Halenu, and that gave us so many corpses. I don't know if they meant to rhyme, but they rhymed it very, very well. It could be that they didn't celebrate immediately because either way they were still scared of him, or they waited until a holiday. You know, they waited for their next, you know, Dagon holiday, whatever it's supposed to be. Like he totally bummed, as they were so merry. Call Shimshon, let him play for us. He had to dance in front of them. And they stood him between the pillars. Now, because of the honor of God was being taken down, that's the reason why, or whatever it was, he pretended to be tired. He was dancing, whatever, he pretended to be tired and put his hands on top of the columns. Yeah.
Why did God make him go through this whole process if he sinned and he eventually deserved to die? Why not just say thank you very much on to the next Shofet?
Because of what he's about to do. That's the real answer. To finish off what he had started and to kill all the officers of the police. Now he said to the kid, the other was holding onto his hand, saying, Yichosi, leave me alone for a second. The Haimi Shani. Is that the word? Bahamisheni is amudim, and lean me against the pillars. Asher abayis nachon aleim, that the whole thing is steady upon. Asherin aleim, let me lean. Abayis mali anoshim anoshim. The house was filled with men and women. The shema kolzari police, all the officers of the police were there. Valagag kishos elafim yish, and on the roof was another 3,000 men. Beisha, men and women. I wrote this called Shimshon. They were all watching the sport of Shimshon. Yikor Shimshon. Hashem yomer Adonai Elohim. Shem my God, zachoini na vachaskeini na. Remember me, please. Strengthen me. Achapam azelukim. Just this. Let me take vengeance for one of my two eyes in the police. Let me get a little with the other eye. Then let me take vengeance for one of my eyes. And Shimshon moved the two pillars, which the bias was nachon aleim. He leaned on them. One is right, one is left. Let my soul die with the rest of the police. He turned very hard. So I have a feeling it went like this. If there were two huge pillars, he pushed them back. One this way, one that way. And the roof caved in and everything fell backward. I would assume that that's what it is. I mean, if we're talking about a huge Colosseum, I don't understand how a Colosseum would be destroyed by two pillars anywhere. But if you push them backward, it's kind of like you made an earthquake that made everything. But even so, if you pull them together, what's that going to do? It's going to lean that, but it's not going to kill the people on the side.
What about like a domino effect?
That's what I really mean. We're pushing them off so that they knock everything down. I would assume that's what it is. And the ceiling came down. There's no question. But we were on the rooftop, they could still see him. That was the point of the rooftop. So I think that's what it means over here. So he did that. He killed more people in his death than he killed during his lifetime. Then he goes into a whole thing of whether or not, right, it was because of his hair or not his hair. Some say that this was suicide. He should never have done this. Others say that under this circumstance, it was permitted because he asked it to be through a miracle. And if God didn't want him to die, he wouldn't have allowed the miracle to happen. In other words, he committed suicide through a miracle that God had happened to him. So that's not suicide.
Maybe he realized that's the way he had to go.
And the third thing is that it was required as a Kiddush Hashem, and he knew through Nevuah that that's what he had to do. Right? That's the idea. Two different answers. One is, it was a Kiddush Hashem, and that's why it would be Mutter. Number four, it was divine revelation. He knew it was the end of his life, and he knew he should take out as many pollution as he could at that moment. His brothers, maybe not his real brothers. We don't know if Shimshon had any other brothers. We only know that he had a sister, Nishia. That's mentioned. Baba Basra Tzadi Alpha Mabez mentions Nishia. Tzadi Alpha Mabez mentions Nishia. We don't know about any brothers. Could be Jews. In his father's house, Yisrael, and they carried him. By Yalom Yiproso, Ben Tzoro, Ben Eshtol, between Tzoro and Eshtol, the Kever Manoach, even the Kever of Manoach, his father, which means that they also understood that he was a tzaddik. Because if he was marrying Plushim and he was an evil person, they wouldn't marry him by Manoach, who was a special person who saw Malach. But who shoved his soul from Shani, he had judged Ben Yisrael for 20 years.
We said that already.
It was a good thing for the Plushim that they had not taken his body. They allowed it to be buried. That's a schuss for the police, and they didn't do that. Some say that they were afraid of him. Completely afraid. They also said it was a great miracle. He was buried under all the police and all the rocks, and yet still they found his body. There were other kids. That was that.
Could we say that he became a shofet after he killed the 1,000 with the jawbone? Because it's after he killed the jawbone, the public says, Veshpon Yisrael be made Felishim Esrim Shana. And at the very end, it says, oh yeah, and he judged for 20 years. So maybe he became the shofet there. Then 20 years later, they all, with his Zona, then after that,
there's two lot books about that, whether the 20 years applied after this as well, that they were so afraid of him that for 20 years after Shimshon was there, the pollution would not fight Bnei Yisrael.
You would delete it, right?
Yeah. Even after the Lila, that they were still there. And there's a lot of stuff over here. You should just know there's an unbelievable little border here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him by the very thing that he had decreed upon himself. He had said that if his hair were cut, he would become weak. And so it was. Originally, there had been no connection between Shimshon's hair and his strength. But his words made it so. His words made it as if there was some type of a connection between it.
Yeah, but he also made a connection between tying him with new ropes and tying him with old ropes. But it didn't.
But he was joking about that. This time, he meant it seriously. And that's that. So how do we know that the rope, that the hair had anything to do with it? It didn't. It never did. Because he said it did. And it was a serious thing. He took his Naziris and used it as his excuse. That was problematic. But still, I go by the original thing that really it was his lack of belief in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or somehow, you know, losing a little bit that made it happen, or wasn't the hair at all. Regardless, there's no question that the four times, each one was a reference to the hair that he wasn't saying straight out. Ropes, cords, the hair inside the loom, and then the final hair. That's one of the most misunderstood men of all time, Shimshon. Seriously, one of the greatest shochetim we've ever had. One literally killed everybody on his own. I mean, there was nobody else there. I highly suggest Shimshon's Struggle, Samson's Struggle. One of the best books I've ever read. It's an unbelievable. They don't sell Samson's Struggle anymore. They redid it and they put Shimshon's Struggle and then Pesach Yicha. They just made it more accessible and put better notes in there. It was originally written like 70 years ago with like no real notes and whatever it is, just like quotes from Chazals and whatever.
Yeah, but they didn't water it down though.
No,
they made it more.
You got to make sure. Okay, and we'll see you next week.